What's the source of wisdom? How can you live a more conscious life? Sometimes it's the questions that bring you your own quantum leaps. Wisdom Talk Radio brings you conversations with visionary thinkers, business mentors, and provocative authors and teachers, along with resources that point the way for you to claim your potential in service to the world. Join Laurie Seymour at Wisdom Talk Radio for explorations in conscious living. Subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcast or find us at Wisdom Talk Radio on Facebook.
Hey everyone, welcome back to The Sensitivity Doctor. Today I had Alessandra Torresani on and she was amazing. She's the host of the Emotional Support Pod. She's a mental health illness spokesperson and she is just so raw and honest and such a sweet person. I'm so excited we connected in the family of, I don't know, badass female podcasters getting stories out into the world. So today we talked about what it's like to lose yourself and find yourself again in motherhood and how for her, the love of dance has been healing her from her own birth trauma and really just different things she's been going through. But we don't stop there. We know every motherhood story is different. So we also were exploring things like what do you do if you don't have the support network and little ways to show our girls especially that it is normal and healthy to take care of yourself. So I hope you're listening to this maybe when you're doing something for yourself. If you were thinking of going for a walk or getting up and jumping on the treadmill or going outside in the sunshine or baking that, I don't know, rye bread. What is it, sourdough bread, whatever it is that you wanted to go do. What if you pop these into your earbuds and go and do the thing while you listen to this really sweet conversation? Enjoy. I'm really excited to talk to you because, well, you cover so many things that have to do with emotional health and motherhood and all of this. And I love how you do it just so authentically.
Thank you.
There's a specific thing that you posted about recently that just struck me. And that was just kind of as you've been posting. Getting back into something that you love.
Yes.
Refinding yourself in motherhood, not losing yourself in motherhood. And for you, it looks like it's dance.
It's dance. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a dancer my whole life. That was my first love and my first passion before even I became an actor. And I would always find myself taking dance classes and, you know, being able to find time here and there to do stuff. But I never forgot, I used to take at this one dance studio in LA all the time at night, way before kids, way before anything. And Christina Applegate would always take the class before me. And I would always watch her. And I'm such a super fan of hers. And I've never met her other than just watching her dance from afar. but I remember when I heard about her diagnosis of going through MS and how she wasn't able to move the way, it broke me in such a personal way because I understand that I have a lot of people in my life who live with, I believe she has MS, right? I'm like not like losing my mind.
Yes.
I'm like mistaking.
We'll fact check this.
But I'm 99.9% sure. But yes, but it hit me so hard because I just would always say to myself, oh, I'm going to put this off. I can do a dance class next week. I can do it next week. And then when you hear about one of your idols, right? And this was a passion that I think everyone knew she loved to do. She was a performer and a dancer. But when I saw her do it, there was no cameras, like nothing. It was literally for her love of dance. Yeah. And I thought to myself, I never want to get to a point where I didn't do a class for my soul because X, Y, and Z, and then God forbid something were to happen where I'm not able to do this, you know, and you aren't be able to move and dance. And so that always struck me. And so I had a very traumatic birth and recovery, and I still am, you know, emotionally trying to get back to myself and physically not there yet. But I was like, you know what? My daughter's in preschool now. I have an hour off. I'm going to take this moment for myself and do it. And I think that it has inspired a lot of friends of mine. Not, I don't know what it's inspired for other people, but for friends of mine in my close, like, mom circle, they are finding themselves getting back to things that they love to do, whether it be arts, whether it be singing, you know, finding that passion just for that hour a week can literally change your life. That was a whole mouthful. I'm sorry, but.
No, I love it. I love it. I mean, what is so cool about that is that it's not just, okay, I'm trying to reprogram the societal expectation of motherhood, which we'll unpack a little, but it was something so true to your heart.
Yeah. And you know what? I think it was less about, you know, yes, it's about motherhood and getting back to myself, but it was more about, like, motherhood woke me up to be like, hey, life is short. Your daughter is 3 now, and it feels like she was just born yesterday. So now is the time to get your shit together, essentially, and figure it out. You know, like, life is starting over, and, like, you got to move with it, you know?
Yeah. Are you okay after the traumatic birth? I'm saying this. Part of me is so struck because the episode that came out last week was with this wonderful clinician, Tila Tomasetti, that you might want to reach out to.
Oh, yeah.
Her whole world is helping people process and move through traumatic birth. Yeah. And there are so many things about that we don't talk enough about. It's not encouraged for us, because I also had one, to be open. It's almost don't say anything because you don't want to scare other people.
I feel like I scare people all the time, and I don't care if I scare them at this point.
Well, I'm all about honesty here.
I'd rather tell people, like, just to be prepared, you know?
Yeah.
My actual birth was, like, beautiful, but it was after my daughter was born, I started hemorrhaging and bleeding. And
that happened to her too.
Wow. And that it happened to her didn't too, yeah. stop. And then all these doctors came in and, you know, next thing you know, I'm looking, you know, on the monitor, and there's a whole arm inside me trying to figure out, like, what's going on, like, pulling things out. And I still have major pee my pants when I walk, you know, and everyone always used to laugh. Oh, you know, moms, that's what happens. My whole body was destroyed inside, and I'm just now, you know, dealing with that, you know, and processing that. I was bleeding 7 days. I remember I gave birth on a Monday, and on Friday I was bleeding so badly that my postpartum doula, who was doing a belly wrap on me, she was like, you have so many clots of blood coming out. You need to be in the hospital right now. You're going to faint. I couldn't stand up.
Oh, that's scary.
And they wouldn't let me inside the hospital with my newborn because there were so many unknown diseases that were in the hospital room.
She's three now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a 5-year-old. So we both had, like, COVID babies, essentially.
Yeah. But this wasn't even COVID. That's what was so crazy. It was, like, random stuff that they didn't know what it was. And so they wouldn't let her in the room. I refused to give formula at the time because I was so strung out on that. Now I'm, like, looking back at it, I was like, who cares? You know, but I was, you know, nursing her in a wheelchair in the driveway of the hospital on a Friday night until 5 a.m. And it was, like, crazy. And they still didn't fix it. So, you know, there's so much stuff like that where I feel like I just want to prepare moms that it's not going to happen to you. But if it does, it's okay. Other people go through it. I thought, No one would like that, you know?
Right.
And then I meet friends of mine that did that just didn't feel comfortable sharing that. And I'm like, what? So it's a wild ride. So that's so fantastic you had that woman on to talk about that.
Right. Well, and I like the idea of, like you were saying, you don't need to make someone feel like this is going to be the worst thing that happens ever.
No.
It's never going to be treated.
It was beautiful for me at the beginning. Yeah.
Right. But there's also this, I think if we don't, like, for part of my birth trauma was experiencing something called coupling, where my contractions weren't stopping and then they weren't producing enough oomph to get the baby out. What? And if I had ever heard of that, because in my mind it was, okay, well, contractions are terrible, so this is normal. But I didn't realize it wasn't normal to not have a break.
Right.
And so bleeding after is normal, but bleeding to the point where you're going to faint and you're feeding your baby in a wheelchair is not normal.
it's not normal. I had to have it, you know, and I also love sharing, like, on every interview that I do, like, you have to be your own, like, voice, right? Especially with doctors, because they are so, I feel like, zoned out in the sense of, I think the average is like they give a patient 6 minutes of their time. And that seems like a lot, actually, like more than a lot of people actually get. But, you know, you have to be your own voice. I remember I would call the doctor and say, I'm bleeding. And they're like, that's normal. And I'm like, I know it's not normal. I know this is not okay. They said, well, we're not available to see you, so you have to go to the hospital. So that's when I checked into the hospital. And then it continued, you know, and continued. And so I went in again and made an appointment. And, you know, it was weeks later. And they were like, we have to do an emergency DNC on you right now. And I was like,
what? Oh, my gosh.
You know, so it was like they didn't believe it. And I had to literally pull my pants down to show that it was
You should
so
never
bad.
Have to be and so let me tell forthright you, with proving these, yourself.
Exactly. But these were... I mean, I was so privileged with the best of the best doctors, you know, and so it just shows that you literally have to be so strong and just voice, you know, if you have a concern, don't take no for an answer. Like, don't take no.
I mean, what you're saying really shines a light on why and how medical gaslighting can be so present in certain populations too, because if you have certain women who are marginalized or certain women, let's say really young mothers, for example, who maybe don't know the questions to ask or don't have someone even supporting them in their pregnancy.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Gosh, well, I'm grateful that you're willing to be so forthcoming about it, because I'm sure that helps the people that are in your community.
I mean, I hope it does. That's why I share every part of what I was going through, every stage of my postpartum, dealing with anxiety, dealing with OCD, things that I never had to the extreme before, because I didn't know that these things even existed. I just thought there was postpartum depression. And if you weren't depressed, then you were fine. I didn't know that intrusive thoughts were so intense and that was in quote unquote normal, you know, in the sense of maybe it's not normal, but normal in the sense where most people have that, you know, after they give birth, you know, they have those intrusive thoughts. So I think it's just about if you're comfortable sharing, you know, share with your friends because it can save someone else's life.
Absolutely. And I have a question for you. I have a follow-up based on whatever you say. Since you've started dancing, have you noticed an improvement in any of the psychological or physical symptoms you were having after your birth?
1,000,000%. I think just, you know, I was never someone that was like a worker outer, if you will. Like I was never like a gym rat or any of that. But I have found myself at least 3 times a week forcing myself. And look, I'm very lucky. I have a daughter that's now in school for a couple hours a day, a couple times a week. If I need to take a class and, you know, I'm not available, my mom is with me and she's our in-house, you know, nanny. So I'm very lucky on that sense. But I have been forcing myself to go at least 3 times a week to a class.
Awesome.
And not even just dance. Like I've been trying different ones. I just use my class pass and I'm like, I'm going to do Pilates today. I'm going to do a sculpt. I'm going to do a yoga. Seeing what works for me. And look, 50% of them don't work for me. But the ones that do work for me, you know, it's that 45 minutes that I get to literally not look in the mirror, not think about what I look like, it's literally just about how I feel.
Right.
And it's silly, but, you know, endorphins make you happy. They do, you know.
I don't think it's silly at all. And I mean, in fact, the reason I was so curious what you were going to say about that is because if we think about, I can't help as a trauma therapist when I think about what you went through, to think the trauma that happens to the pelvic floor during that kind of experience.
Yep.
And what dance offers somatically. Yes. The fact that you are almost in a way energetically, physically, and psychologically, if you think about how somatics work, realigning and like loving that part of your body that endured trauma. And talking is an amazing way to process trauma. We need to relate, but the trauma happened to your body.
I mean, I could cry right now. I think that's so beautiful the way that you put that because it's so true. I went through tons of pelvic floor therapy. I've done the Thermiva, which was, it helped a lot actually, but it's
what
very
is a Thermiva? I don't know what that
Thermiva
is.
Thermiva is, it's like a, God, I'm going to say it wrong, but it, maybe it's like a laser light wave or something.
Oh,
and
okay.
They stick it inside you and they, you know, do things to create the heat waves to shrink it. I don't know. I was very lucky that I got to do it in exchange for a post, but it's very expensive, you know, and, you know, it helped a little bit, but it didn't help with the incontinence 100%. There are moments where I still have to put paper towels inside before dance, but those leaps get you. But
yeah,
you know,
I will say,
yeah, exactly. But I'll say you're right. I find that my body is like healing itself because I'm so happy doing something and I'm able to move my body and feel my body. You know, I had a very bad knee injury and I'm slowly like building up to make it better through actually the working out and the stretching and the exercising. And it's just, it's really remarkable like what your body can do for itself without outside help, like just its own healing. But yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. You're right, how full circle. And you know, it's really cute because my daughter does ballet and she loves it, so we do it together. And so at first I started filming them just because some of the other moms in the class were recording to show their kids, you know, that they did ballet.
Right.
And then I posted it and there was a mom that had said, oh my God, who I used to dance with way back in the day when I was a kid. And she was like, what you're doing is so healing. That's how I healed myself after having, you know, three kids. And I was just like, wow, that's so crazy. I knew her when I was 2 years old, you know. And so then I just started filming like more and more of it and posting more and more of it. And people started reaching out more and more of, you know, wow, when you really find doing that one thing for yourself as a mom, it really can help. And my daughter loves watching the videos. Like she will sit there and watch and copy and, you know, do it with me. And it's really cute.
Something I love about that is I think as we like rewrite the script on mom guilt and, you know, doing things for yourself. And I can almost hear in the undertone in the beginning of our chat today, while you champion for it, you also were like, it's 45 minutes, only this many times a week. It's while she's at school. And this girl, you could do it when she's in the middle of playing blocks in her room. Like you don't, you know, it could be any time. But it's so ingrained. It's so woven into us.
Yeah.
And yet, I remember as a child craving seeing my mom, because my mom did not take as good a care of herself as I wanted her to. Like she was, I don't know, for all intents and purposes, a little bit more codependent in nature. And I remember anytime she would do anything for herself, I loved it.
Wow, isn't that beautiful?
Like, I remember that. I remember feeling more safe in my body when I saw her do something for herself.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I think it's empowering too because, you know, I'm trying to, you know, I have a different body and I think we all realize that once you have a baby and my hips will never be the same and my mom's hips will never be the same. We laugh about that. But I find I want to show my daughter, especially having a girl, I feel like is very important as like a family of all women in my side of the family. It's like all women. You know, I think it's so important to show her that we should take care of ourselves and not for the aesthetic, but we need to be strong, you know, emotionally, physically. You know, and I want to be strong for her. I want to show her that I can do this. You know what I mean? And people have no idea how athletic you have to be a dancer. It is
crazy. Oh my goodness.
And I mean, my muscles have never been more sore taking a little ballet class, you know?
Mm-hmm. Especially the calves. I feel like they're, I was a dancer my whole life. So.
Oh, so you know, yes. Yeah. And you know, she's really into jujitsu right now too. And
oh, cool.
I was a black belt in taekwondo. I did that my whole life too. And I think it's important for us to show our girls, like, you should be strong. You should be brave. Like, you should be able to have that confidence. And I feel, you know, you can't force that. They have to learn that themselves. But inviting them to do activities, inviting them to see their mom feeling strong and confident, I always say to people, never, you know, look at your body and say in the mirror, oh, I look so fat today. I can't fit in these jeans. If your kid's around, you can say that internally, yes, but never say that out loud because they absorb everything. And so you don't want them to already feel like body image, you know, that's, and you can't help yourself, right? Because we grew up in a different generation. But, you know, that I don't want my daughter to ever feel like her body is anything but perfect the way that it is.
I love that. Yeah, it was interesting when I, you know, after being postpartum, lost my postpartum weight. It took a long time. I just
A long time.
I had two C-section babies, and that is just
that healing journey is so tough.
Animal. It's a total. It's, and I don't want to say it's a total different journey, but it is a different journey. It,
guts are pulled on a plate. It's a very different journey.
Yes, very different journey. And I remember my daughter seeing a photo of me from like earlier on postpartum, and then she kind of looked at me, and she's 10. So she looked at me, she might have been about 8 at the time, and she kind of looked at me, she said, huh, you look a lot smaller or something, you know, kind of reflecting. Sure. And I just was, you know, just saying, yeah, you know, that happened. Sometimes it just takes time to, I said it where I was kind of reflecting, yes, objectively, you're correct. But sure. I also didn't want to make it sound like that had been my goal either. Mm. You know, I kind of just had it be part of the fabric of, oh, yes, that's very normal. You know, when this happens, and everyone's different too, because we know lots of folks who, on the other end, I feel like some women get shamed for not gaining enough weight and not going through that or losing it too fast. Or it's almost like any extreme the human mind needs to make some excuse up for.
Yep. 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 Totally. Totally. Yeah. Oh, I must be so fun having a 10-year-old on a side note. Like, how cute.
Yeah, she's, and I love her too. Well, of course I love her, but I love her because she doesn't care about being cool still. She's just, I'm going to wear my crazy antlers for Christmas and I'm going to do my math. She's very magical thinking, very creative. So I love that she's older because my son, who is almost half her age, is very mechanically minded.
Oh, funny.
And to get him to do imaginary play is like an effort.
Really?
Yes. Like he would rather, like today I told you we have an unnecessary snow day for no reason in North Carolina today. And he put together some Transformer model that's for 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like just on a whim. Like I'm just going to put this together by myself
today. He's got an engineer mind. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So, but you know, it's when I'm thinking about the like example that we set also.
Sure.
What would you say to anyone listening, you know, moms or even even dads, if they happen to be listening, I have a feeling they probably turned this episode off by now. But anyone who, like, you're feeling like you want to claim this, but the generation before you, maybe you don't have a mother as supportive as yours. Maybe you have women in your life who are telling you that you should just be sacrificing your time. Like, how do you own this?
You know, it's funny because I feel like I'm stuck in between the super old Italian generation that I, you know, was raised in from my grandma and now. But it's so funny because I found that the first, until my daughter went to preschool, I kind of was of the mindset, like, I'm not doing anything until she's off. So I don't know what I would say because I forced myself not to do anything because I was so enmeshed in her. And I don't know if that's healthy for everyone, but it's what worked for us. But once, you know, she turned 3, I put her in the preschool. And I think that so many things in my life changed that day that that's why I gave myself the grace to go back to dance. I think also you have to be inspired by something to make you want to leave your child, right? Like
I can see that.
And I think that for me, I wasn't in a state of mind where I was ready to dance yet and ready to get back to that. I was so like baby focused and I put all my focus in, you know, hosting a music class every single week for 2.5 years at our house. And, you know, it was Lady and I would go to here with this class and this class. She was doing 3 different dance classes a week. She was doing gymnastics. That was my life. Mm-hmm. And then when I was able to take a step back and I trusted the people that were around her, being the teachers,
yeah,
that's when I was like, okay, now what? And I was like, what is the one thing that I've been wanting to do? And it's, oh, I've been wanting to dance. Yeah, I need to get a job. And yes, I need to, you know, have a career. But I mean, for myself. So right. I don't know what I could say, but I would say to people, even if you can't take the time to do things on your own, find things that would inspire you that also would bring joy to your child. For me, yes, I started that. A music class when she was 7 weeks old. I had heard about this incredible teacher, and she was very hard to get, and you had to have it at your house, and she only maybe had one, you know, session open, and you had to jump on it and commit to it. And I was like, I know this is crazy. I wrote her. I'm like, but I have a 4 week old and I'm like ready to start a music class. She's like, it's never too old to introduce music into a child's life. And I was like, great. She's like, you need this amount of people, blah, blah, blah. And I started asking people in the street that were neighbors. Yeah. I started asking,
what are you doing on Monday morning?
Yeah. And I was like, well, do you want to come over? And that's how we started our mom group. And that fulfilled me so much weekly.
I can see that.
And it fulfilled me because it was less about introducing the music to the kids, but it was more about me finding community and, you know, going through different milestones that your kid was going through with other people that were going through it at the same time as you. And so that's what I would say, like, first and foremost to any mom who's maybe just had a child, before you find what can I do for myself, find something that you can do with your child that brings joy and can spark that joy inside of you and your child, because it's a bonding moment. And I think that a lot of people in this world don't have community the way that we used to way back right. in the day, you know? I mean, my mom, you know, her mom, vice, and that, my grandma's mom, like, everyone raised each other, you know, and I'm very lucky that my mom lives with us and she does everything with us and whatever, and is the second mom, you know, it's a blessing, but not everyone has that. So you have right. to find community in friends. And so I would do that first and foremost. And then once you feel like a stability and a comfortability and you feel like, okay, now I'm ready for me, there's no rush in timing for that. Like, for me, it took 3 years to finally be like, okay, it's time right. for me again. I have a lot of friends that as soon as the doctor clears them at 12 weeks postpartum, like, they are literally at the gym, like, working out. And that wasn't me. I wasn't ready for that yet. So you just have to listen to your own self of when you are ready.
I really love that. And I'm thinking back, I think that was kind of how I survived being an early mom as well. But it's funny, I remember before my daughter was born, I like to wear makeup. For anyone looking, I'm wearing makeup. And
gorgeous.
Thank
love
you.
Love a red lip.
I've just owned it. It's I just love it. And so I remember before she was born, someone said something funny to me, like, oh, well, good luck, you know, to having the time to do that or something, almost passive aggressively. And I thought to myself, you know what? In the very beginning, if that's the only thing I do that day, like if I take the time to shower and do my makeup, and there's some moms who might be listening going, I can't even do that. So what I did, and maybe this was like, in a way, I was kind of doing what you're saying, like do the thing with your child. I corralled my daughter into my bathroom and I got her like a little, I don't know, foam kitchen set thing and a little pretend makeup kit for her. And like she would be in there. It was kind of like something we would do together. And if and she was not, you know, the most chill baby. She's very highly sensitive. So there were times where she was fussing and I'd pick her up, but hell or high water, I was going to get it done. Right. And what I realized, it's funny, the younger our kids were, my husband and I used to have this rule that if at least 10% of the outing was fun, it was worth it. And so what we said to ourselves, and this was like an early parenting decision, we wanted to get our kids to the point where they could, we do so much stuff that's very kid oriented, but we also do a lot that's us oriented, things we like to do.
Sure. As you should.
Right. But we have them involved. Like we have them in it with us.
You have to. And I don't know, to each their own. So I hate to be judgy, but like, it's so hard for me to see people not include their kids' places because they think it's for adults. That's fine. Look, if you're going to a very fancy restaurant, okay, no one wants to be paying the money for a nice restaurant, me, myself included, or the guest across the way who's like having a romantic date. Mm-hmm. No one wants a screaming kid there. I can totally understand that.
And the caveat too, we are not talking about kids who have like special needs or health issues. Like we know 100%. That is like that's a total basic extreme kids. That yes.
Basic,
we're like
basic kids. But like your basic kid can go to a basic CPK restaurant, right? A California Pizza Kitchen. Yeah. And you can have a fun like night with your kid and teach them. That's a slow way to teach them how to be out. Like I took my daughter everywhere for lunch out every day, even if it was like a random fast food restaurant, because I just wanted her to learn, like you sit there and we read a book or you sit there and you color, you know what I mean? So you're not like throwing them into a huge high risk situation. It's just like taking them out so they understand that, because so many kids that were left at home all the time and then at 5 years older going out are like causing a ruckus, like at a basic restaurant. And you're just like, and then they have to give them a screen, you know? And I'm a big no screen person
we're a limited screen time family for so many reasons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to teach my kids how to be bored.
Listen, creativity is born from being bored. Okay.
Absolutely.
You have to use your mind. You have to figure it out, you know? Don't get me wrong. We are obsessed with Disney. We are a Disney, you know, home, like lady and I every night watch a Disney movie. That's what we do. But, you know, I also will go to lunch with her or dinner with her, and we're bringing puzzles. We're bringing activities. We're bringing, you know, magnetic tiles. You know, that is what we do. And I'm not saying that it's for everyone.
No, but it's hard.
Seeing kids sitting on a screen all day long, not having communication. I mean, how are you going to communicate in the real world? And I think we're seeing that now with kids who are iPad kids.
It's like affecting their mental health.
They don't have communication skills. And I'm not talking about kids that are on the spectrum or have special needs or anything like that. Because I live with that. We have that in our family. I'm talking about just asshole brat kids that, you know, just don't want to learn to talk to parents because they never had to. So they're just playing their video
games. And, you know, it's interesting because you have a three-year-old and I have a 5- and 10-year-old. And I can tell you, and I'm saying you and anyone listening, it gets easier. So there have been nights where we have a rule in our house. It's every other night screen thing. No shade that it's an every night thing that you guys watch Disney. I mean, that's super awesome. But we have had the every other night routine. And aside from special occasions, like if yesterday was Thanksgiving and we watched the parade, we're not going to go, you can't watch a movie tonight. But we've just got this rhythm. I will tell you though, there are nights where we look at each other and we're like, oh man, I wish we were an every night family. Because sometimes it is hard.
Sometimes you need a break. Yeah.
And I think it took 2 solid years of me telling my son to wait to get up at the end of dinner. Like 2 solid years that now we're finally there. So some of this stuff is not for the, it's not for the overextended. It's not for the burnt out. It's hard. It is hard.
And I'm, like I said, I'm lucky. I work from my house essentially if I'm not on a set. And, you know, I've been lucky enough at this moment to fully be committed to her. Yeah. And so I've been able to do these certain things. Some parents don't have that. They don't have that time. They can't do that. And that's fine. I'm just saying it does get easier as they're older. And I noticed that. Like people, you know, we went to a birthday dinner for a neighbor friend or birthday lunch, excuse me. And there were, I think, 7 women and my daughter and I. And, you know, lady sat there with her Grinch coloring book and she was, you know, coloring and, you know, putting stickers on things. And this woman was like, oh my God, I can't believe that she's not sitting on an iPad. And I was like, that's crazy that that's the normal. It's crazy to me that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe she's just coloring. What? But it's true because that's what we are so used to now, you know? Yep. So I think this next generation, we're trying to pull it back from screen time and go back, you know, like 90s style. I don't know.
No, I completely agree. And we've had very open conversations with our kids, especially, I mean, I was very upfront with my 10-year-old. You will not be on social media until you're 16. You will not have a cell phone until you are in high school. And even then, like, we're going to, everything suggested in The Anxious Generation. Have you read that book?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you have got to read that
book. Oh, I
have
to read it. Yeah.
You have to read that book. It's so, so steeped with research. I love it. And it's talking about, I'm like, I have it across the room. We've got a Jonathan Haidt right across the room from me looking at the, not, I don't have him. Wouldn't that be cool? But like he unpacks the impact that the smartphone release had on the generation that hit puberty at the time that smartphones were released and everyone had them in their hands. And the implications are scary.
Oh, I am sure. And like you know, I am the generation that when I was younger, I always had a pager. So if I was out and my mom needed me, I would like page back. Or I always had a cell phone. I had a cell phone at a really young age, but it was a flip phone. It was very different. It was not that, you know. And I hope that when my daughter is of the appropriate age for a phone, like maybe it'll be cool to go retro again and have a Sidekick or a flip phone or something like that. But, you know, I am also someone that wants her to know that social media exists because I see so much of my business through social media.
Yeah.
And that's how I communicate with people through social media as fans and as listeners. But I think that there's a time and a place and she's aware of that. You know what I mean? And we make our funny videos, but guess what? She doesn't have her own Instagram. Like she's 3 years old.
Well, like, yes. Happening,
you know, she likes to do little, you know, she loves to be a little print model. So sometimes like people will ask her to do things. And if she gets paid, that goes into her allowance of, her, not allowance, her like account, her bank account, you know, because I want her to learn the importance of money and investing your money and doing that, you know. And I think that these are little things that we can teach our children can help them in the long term with real life skills. You know, we need to teach them real life skills.
And I think they do have, and it's something we would probably contemplate maybe in middle school. They do have special phones now that
can
only put certain, I think maybe it's called a bark phone. Someone tell me if I'm wrong, but I think it's like, you can only put certain numbers in. You don't have access to different social media things on it. Like you as the parent can like dictate what is and is not available on it.
I think it's also hard. Like I mean, there's so many people that have split families. And so
absolutely, you know, extreme situations, you have to.
A partner that maybe doesn't want to FaceTime with the kid all the time. Like sometimes you want to know, hey, can I track the kid and make sure that they're okay? Or if they miss their, you know, parent, they can call.
Right.
So I think that there's always exceptions, but I think you're right. It's like the simple phones are the way to go, not the ones with social media or games on it.
Right. Or if you're co-parenting and the co-parent gets them one. That is the stuff
that's a whole other podcast.
To circle it back to Kate Anthony, that's the stuff. I mean, but to really, that's the stuff that's so hard. I for any of you listening who are co-parenting, I have clients who are in that situation and it's just so frustrating because you do all these things, like you do the things we're talking about. You're trying your best. I mean, most people want to do their best and and then you have this other home or this other situation where you don't have control over those components. That's so hard.
Yeah. So hard. I don't know how people do that.
Right. So when you think, I guess, if you think about this idea of not losing yourself in motherhood and like reclaiming and finding yourself, for anyone listening who is thinking, okay, I'm going to go out, I'm going to, you know, whether it be dance or do something with your kiddo, if they ever are plagued with any sort of doubt or guilt or messaging, what would you like want them to know and really just want them to take away from the conversation today? Because what I hope is that this conversation inspired someone to do even a little bit. You know, it doesn't have to be 3 days a week of dance. It could be, for me, it's piano. That's
I love that.
I've been taking lessons virtually with this amazing teacher from my hometown and hi, Lynn, I love you. And it's like the one thing I do that's not for performance. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to go do a recital or anything like that. It just is, for me, it's 20 minutes a day. And it's in my home, too, so it makes it extra easy.
Right, yeah. You know, I would say I had a thought. No, I've lost my thought because that's what my mind always does, right? As moms, we always forget. But I would say, you know, just cut out the noise of others. Do what you need to do for yourself because I don't know. For me, I always think in any situation I'm in, what advice would I give my daughter in this situation? And I would take my own advice. You know, there's a lot of people that are in really shitty relationships. And I would say to myself, what would I tell Lady to do? You know, you would tell them to leave. You would tell your child
100%
what's best. If your child wasn't feeling well, what would you do? You'd say, go outside and play a little bit, get some fresh air.
Right.
So I think just remember, like, you are still a human, right? And like, you have to be the best version of yourself to take care of that other human that you're taking care of. So just remember, like, put your mask on first, you know, on the airplane, then put on your child, and just always say, what would your child's name do? You know, that's what I would say. I would say, what would Lady do? What would Lady do? And what would I tell Lady to do?
I love that so much, because I think that part of motherhood and parenting is constantly reparenting yourself.
Yeah, totally. And I had a great like relationship with my mom. I know a lot of people don't have great relationships with their parents. I was really lucky to have that strong bond. And I want to make sure that I show that strong bond to my daughter, you know, because I was so lucky and had that support system. And so I want her to always feel like no matter what she does, she can come and tell me, like, and it's not a big deal. And she'll never be judged. Like,
I love that. So parenting and reparenting. Yeah. We don't need to have our parent continue parenting. This is something that we can show up for ourselves.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. Well, I am so honored that you came to sit down with me.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, this was, that's one of my favorite things about this world of podcasting is just all these different connections and learning and speaking to people that you would never have even known existed. I just love
it. Well, and it's so fun that it's all virtual too. So, you know, there's a part of me that's always, I don't know, should I have the podcast in person and like only do in-person interviews? But then I would miss out on so many fantastic people like you and Kate and, you know, who are not in my vicinity, like that I couldn't interview. You know what I mean? That it never would have happened. So I think that's what makes it really special.
I totally agree. Well, I would love to have you back anytime. I'd love to stay connected.
Thank you. And, yes, let's stay connected for sure.
Yes, for sure. So I hope everyone enjoyed and was able to take a moment. Hopefully some of you mamas were actually listening to us talk about this, maybe even while you were doing this for you. Like maybe you were taking a walk or, you know, on the treadmill or
taking a bath even is the best.
Taking a bath, gardening, whatever, crocheting. I don't know how to do that. But, you know, whatever it is you love to do, you were doing it. So everyone, just take a moment to take care of yourselves and be well.